Heavenly Father, that is our desire more than anything else, that we would see your face. That is the longing of our hearts more than anything else. You are our desire. You are the longing. You are what we're desperate for. We long for you with everything that is within us, Lord. That one thing that we seek after, and that is that we would dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I thank you, Father God, for the hearts of worship, that you've received our worship this day, your daughters of Zion, the daughters of your priesthood, the daughters of the new covenant, the daughters of grace, that we abound in hope, we abound in love, we abound in wisdom, because we pursue you with everything that is within us. Thank you, Heavenly Father, as we bow down our hearts before you in a moment of holy hush. Lord, you speak to our hearts in the deep inner witness of our spirit, Lord. Teach us to hear your voice in the stillness, in the quietness. Thank you that we know that we know that we know your voice. Psalm 46:10, the Lord says, be still. He says, be still and know that I am God. Wow. He's not saying run out and do, which is so familiar for all of us. Just got to get up, got to go. So much to do. Thousands of things to get done. Seek my face. Be still. Come and be with me. Come and bask in my presence. Let me overshadow you. Let me bring healing to your heart, healing to your womb, your birthing center. The will that I have for you may be known. Thank you, Lord, that we search the deep things of God. We can know them by the Spirit of God. And we want to go deeper and deeper and deeper into you. And we want to go higher and higher and higher into you and live out of the third heaven. Lord, as we speak these things, as we all are where we are, this very moment, this is the agreement of our hearts with the words of life, the words of truth, the words of the Spirit. We want to live and abide in your presence. We want to live and move and have our being in you. We thank you for your Son, Jesus. Oh, I just want you to turn your heart to Jesus for what he did for you. Why do we hold on to the things that we hold on to here when we struggle? Get agitated, impatient. Is it my will or is it thy will be done? Your will, Lord, that's what we want more than anything else, is your will. Your will. For we are surrendered to you this day. No more allowing the past to define us. No longer holding on to the things that hurt us, have skewed our ability to love. Lord, pure love, the pure, holy, Christ-like love. Because we cannot do that in our humanity. We can only do it with the love of Christ that you have placed within us. So let that love arise. Let us just take that love everywhere we go. And it's in your grace that we'll be able to do that. Through your grace, we receive your love. We receive your love for others. When they've disappointed us, we receive your love to forgive and to release them. These are choices that define us. And he gives us hearts that are tender and soft and gentle, not hardened, not any part of our heart will we allow to be hardened from the things that have happened to us. Because you paid the price. And we shift all the injustices, all the hurts, all the disappointments, all the betrayals to the cross right here, right now. As we're in your presence, Lord, we want your will and the purity of your river running through us, the holiness of your oil running freely through us. Let nothing be backlogged, nothing be plugged up, as LaRue would say. Nothing be jamming the free-flowing rivers. We call upon the strength and the power of the Almighty to bring that disintegration to the dam within us, with that backlog of your holy flow of your Spirit. And we take the blood. I just want you to just take your hand, just take, as you will, just a cloth, and just dip it in the blood of Jesus. And I want you to take that to your mind right now, just to your forehead, and just begin by the blood of Jesus, having him cleanse all of the memories, all of the visions, all of the hurts, but take it to the heart center and the dream center. Lord Jesus, by your blood, wash us and cleanse us to the deepest recesses of our memories. Every rejection, every hurt, Father, anytime we were disrespected or dishonored or discarded or cast aside or forsaken, Father, by your Spirit, by the blood of Jesus, wash us, make us clean, and create in us a new heart and a new spirit, brand new day, new beginnings. We sever. I just want you to take like scissors in your hand and sever all the ungodly soul ties. Just sever them now. Anybody that the Lord is putting before you, just take the hand and just sever every ungodly soul tie. Just say it. I sever every ungodly soul tie. And I thank you, everything that is godly remains. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Let's just give him honor and glory and praise. Hallelujah. You know, it's kind of amazing because kind of the way that I envisioned how that was going to go, what was going to be at the end of the teaching and at the end of the service. But you know, you got to go with the Holy Ghost, where the Holy Ghost is. That's where we want to be, and allow him to have that free reign to minister to us right there, right when he wants to. You know, he'll intercept your plans and take over. And we give him full permission to do so. Amen. And you know, the thing that I've been, you know, the Lord, he just has so many scriptures rolling through me, but we've come into such a time now as receiving. You know, we've asked. And I just love how LaRue teaches, because it's so by the Spirit and it's so on time all the time. It's amazing. I'm in awe of that gift, that revelation of knowing where Holy Spirit is and who he's on and how he's ministering and how he's lifting us up and encouraging all of us to really walk in the Spirit. And, you know, receive. I've been asking the Lord, and now I'm shifting it to, Lord, I receive your grace for that corporate anointing to set the captives free. I've done it for so many years behind the scenes, and that was my comfort. The Lord would anoint me, and I'd be in awe of the Lord because he would faithfully show up. And I love to see women be set free. I mean, there's an inner unseen hurts that nobody can see, and we can wear them and just kind of, oh, it's okay. You know, put some denial on it, or it wasn't that bad, or, you know, it wasn't as bad as that, or it could have been worse, or, you know, I could be dead and I wouldn't even be here, but then again, there's glory, you know. But I mean, you know, it could always be worse, and we reason in our minds. But the Lord is bringing us into such a place of wholeness because he has need of us. And the greater the wholeness, the greater the ability to contain that power, that dunamis power of the Holy Spirit that he's put inside all of us. He anointed Jesus Christ. Where does Jesus Christ live? Inside. Inside you, Adria. Inside you, Carling. Inside me. He anointed Jesus Christ inside me with the Holy Ghost and with power.
Yeah.
You know, power. I mean, it's that power, that dunamis power. It's that miracle-working power. And the place that we err is when we look on ourselves and our abilities. You know, I spoke about a week ago, maybe a couple weeks ago, just exhorted a little bit about the five enemies to the will of God in our lives. And one of those is, you know, making excuses. You know, oh, I'm not good enough, or I don't know the word enough, or, you know, I'm not educated enough, don't have enough money, I can't do what you want me to do because of all these reasons, you know. But the Lord says, just torch those, you know, put those to fire. You know, put them on fire, burn them up, because he's saying, yield to me, surrender to me, surrender to my will. And when we get frustrated, it's like because we're out of alignment and we're trying to do things on our own, in our own ability and in our own flesh. But he's saying, come here and get centered in me. Draw your strength from me and everything. I'm just, you know, we hear these things and sometimes you're like, oh, yeah, yeah, you know, I know that. Oh, yeah, that's so good. I don't know, I've got two mics going. But, you know, it's that what I'm hearing now is grace. Everything's by grace. Grace to receive Christ into your heart as that gift of eternal salvation. Grace to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Grace to go out in boldness. Grace to speak and to not be afraid. You know, for so many years, I was lifting up my husband and saying, oh, you know, he's such an awesome teacher. I'm just perfectly comfortable right back here. You know, I can't teach like that, and I don't need to teach like that. But, you know, it's like, oh, you know, how can I add to that? It's like, whoa. And yet the Lord's saying, come out of your comfort.
Yes.
Step out. And even though he spoke that to me many, many years ago, a part of me was like, oh, I don't want to do that. I don't want to speak. I don't want to get in front of everybody. It's scary sometimes because you don't know what you're going to say. But he promises he'll put wisdom in your mouth. He promises that he'll fill your mouth with wisdom, because who lives inside of us? It's the Holy Spirit. And so when I get my eyes off of myself and don't think about that, you know, there is a vulnerability to our humanity. And sometimes, you know, that timidity will try to rise up. But what I so love, and every one of you also, is that fearless, dauntless bravery. It's like that's what the Lord keeps speaking to me about. So as he's speaking to me, I'm just going to speak to you out of my heart what he's been sharing with me so many weeks and months and, you know, even through the years. But it's like there's an awakening. It's like, whoa, for all of us. Because while you're still breathing, there is still time to do the will of God in your life, whatever he's called to do. And sometimes, you know, we think of all the reasons why we can't, or, you know, there's unbelief, or there's fear, or there's just flat out rebellion. You know, it's like, well, I don't know God's will. I'm still searching it, you know, running from camp meeting to conference and conference to camp meeting, and prophet, speak to me. Tell me, what's the call of God on my life? You know, but until we really begin to sit and meditate on his word, that's where he's going to speak. It's in his word. And it's, I mean, you know, it comes so alive and it brings such life. And yet we want to, you know, rise up and run out in our own ability and strength. And, you know that you're just kind of out there on your own and just, you know, running into the day. But he's always just a holy invitation. Come and sit with me. And I recognized even one of my own weaknesses just through this process of fasting and praying and just putting my stubborn flesh down, you know. It's like, I mean, I began fasting, and just, it's been an ongoing thing. And, you know, I'll fast before Sozo because I just want the Lord more than anything else, because I can't do anything for anybody. I can't. And I recognize that, so I don't go in with any fear. There's just such an incredible power and boldness that comes with sozo. And for those that may have never experienced sozo, it's salvation. It's a Greek word that does mean salvation, but everything's about salvation because it all leads into healing. It all leads into, and I mean healing, you know, not just emotionally, but physically and mentally in your body and every area of your life. Deliverance. Deliverance from the lies. Deliverance from the deceptions. Deliverance from the things that we cannot see, but the Lord sees that they've been, I call it like the basement. It's like in the recesses, you know, we've compressed it so long we forgot it was there, but sometimes it's that one thing that the Lord's going after. And that's what I was just really getting even with this message as I was meditating on what the Lord would have be released for you today. And it's that one thing, you know, that one thing that maybe you've been struggling with. It's that one thing that kind of rises up and then you just kind of dismiss it. It's like it rises up and he's saying, give it to me. Whether it's a fear, whether it's an excuse, whether it's some form of rebellion. Oh, I don't want to do what you're calling me to. I don't know what it's going to cost me. You know, I don't know. I mean, because it will always cost something. And, you know, we can kind of get settled in doing things. And yet he's always wanting to enlarge himself within you. And, you know, the thing about it, Jesus, he dwells within us. His habitation is within us. His presence is within us. And the thing that's so amazing is when Jesus walked on the earth, he had no home. He had no place to lay his head. Everywhere that he went, his was his home. He was dwelling amongst the people and pouring himself out as a drink offering. He was pouring himself out. And he was doing everything that he saw the Father doing. And that's what I keep praying too. Y'all hear me when I exhort, when I do the transition. It's like, I desire unbroken fellowship with you. And see, when we ask according to his will, he'll answer that. You know, I want all of my senses activated. I want all of the internal spiritual senses of who he is in me. You know, I mean, some people are a little more predisposed to seeing, and I love that gift. You know, some people are a little more predisposed to hearing, some to feeling. But I keep saying, Lord, I want everything to be activated and everything to be alive. I want all the gifts of the Spirit. And it's not the gift for me. I want to give it away. I want to give away that word of knowledge, that word of encouragement, that word of hope. I want the gift of faith. I want the laying on of hands. I want the miracles. You know, it's like when you want according to what his will is, then guess what? He's going to grant you that. You know, we keep pressing into him, and desiring more and more of him. And he'll answer the desire of our heart. And I just want to go and turn to the word because it's just, you know, the word is so alive. It's so powerful. I just want to say, according to Psalm 27:1, because this is the core of our message, the one thing. The Lord is my light. Whew. I mean, you just stop right there and meditate on that for a while and just begin seeing that he is the light inside of you. He is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Isn't that so funny? You know, what are we afraid of? You know, I mean, it's like all about shift. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? What shall I fear? I ministered not long ago and somebody was recognizing some of the fear in their heart. And it was about like the fear of being in the last times. It was the fear of all the things that are going on around us in the world. And it's somewhat of just a tinge of dread. And I was like, ooh, let's shift that. The glory of God is in the future. Jesus is in the future. He's going to anoint you to be such a powerful witness in this hour that we're living in, that he's going to provide for you every need. He's going to give you every resource you need to be empowered from on high. But that's why this is such a time of equipping. This is such a time of preparation, where there's a preparation for the coming of the Lord. And this is that time that we're preparing ourselves, anointing ourselves, just like Esther did for her king. And that thing that I love the most about Esther, she said, there was such a humility about her. If it pleases the king. 7 times she spoke that, if it pleases the King. If it pleases the King. We want to please the King. We want to honor the King more than anything else. It says, whom shall I fear? So let's just put a crushing to any and all fears, because God has not given a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. And when he's enlarged, it's like, look out, devil. It causes the demons to flee. And I've seen that time and time again. I've looked into the eyes of the destroyer. I've looked into the eyes of the Apollyon, and they just want to murder me, and there's hatred in their eyes. And it's like, I don't bow down. I'm like, how dare you manifest? Go in the name of Jesus. Because it's not me, it's his authority. But we're going to confront demons, and they are going to flee, because there is no other option. There's no other way, because when Jesus says that they're to go, they go. And I love that victory, because it's a confidence that continues to build and rise. And I've had people just want to, you know, just pummel me, and the thought for a moment would run through my mind, oh, they're about to just, you're like, you know, mow me over. They're going to run. I mean, I get a vision of them coming and tackling me and throwing me up against the wall, because demons can be quite powerful. You can't wrestle them down. I mean, it is an unnatural power that's very spiritual. You don't fight in the natural. You can try to, you know, lock, you know, headlock them, you know, but it's going to probably be temporary. You got to bind them and take and release that authority, but it builds that confidence. And it's that confidence that is the rewarder of heaven, because the more that you're stepping out in these things, you know, there's an ancient Chinese proverb that says, the journey of 1,000 miles begins with that first step. And see, that fear, it can be paralyzing. It gets just, you know, like the talent, I'm going to go hide it. And the Lord was not pleased with that servant. He gave the one, that one, the least of the talents. And he's like, no, I'm going to hide it, because I'm afraid you're going to be mad at me. You know, the others invested it and doubled it, you know. And we want to be those wise stewards. And it's not about us. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about the kingdom. And so it's that one thing. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. That's where we get our strength anyways. You know, it's not in our own ability. And it would be foolish to think it's because of my beauty or my grace or my money or, you know, that all of these things, I mean, I'm so highly favored of the Lord. It's, no, it's his grace, and because he has purpose in causing you to steward those things. It's like, you know, use the honey of your words. You know, use who you are to attract when you carry that light, what he's given to you, because it's all him. It's all him. He's the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? You know, that's one of the, you know, deception and fear, that, you know, rebellion. I mean, these are the enemies of our soul. He tries to assault us, you know, with those things. And when we recognize how he's trying to come and speak, you know, I'll just tell you honestly, the other day I got pretty hit by the strong man on Thursday. And he was telling me, you're a fake. You're a hypocrite. I mean, all these things that I'm like, you know, that, you know, that's lies, you know, but it was like, whoa, how is this coming at me so strong? Because he's wanting to silence me and shut up the anointing that's on my life and the fire he wants to release out of my mouth to destroy the works of the devil. And it's really kind of a tough thing when the strong man comes and visits you, you know, and it's been a while. I mean, it's probably been a few years, and that was another, just like a day, you know, just really struggling with a fear and had to do with provision. And it's like just all the lies. And it's like, you know, when you come into that place, he causes you to overcome it for a higher purpose, because you destroy the assignment of the enemy against you. But he's looking to try to hinder you. And sometimes people think, well, I don't want backlash, so I better just not step out at all. You know, it's like, no, that's a lie too. It's like, no, you got to step out. You got to expect to take that risk. And it is war. It is a spiritual war all the time. You know, however he looks to try to find that little chink in your armor, whatever that little place may be that he's trying to come back and, you know, hit you with, you know, we're like, oh, I've arrived. I've got it all together. You know, it's like, never. It's that constant teachable heart, that constant yielded heart. That's what he delights in. It's that one thing, pursuing him more than anything else. desiring him with everything that is within us. Because, you know, it's interesting, Psalm 27, I'll just kind of jump ahead. He speaks about the wicked came against me, you know. He talks about the enemies. He talks about the foes. He talks about the adversaries. You're like, whoa. You know, I mean, it's like he's warning us to sharpen our sword. He's warning us to keep it out at all times. It's the sword of the spirit. It's not the sword of your flesh. It's the sword of your spirit that you're exalting and lifting up. Is it knowing that word, because it's the word that shatters and disintegrates the lie and the assignment of the enemy against you. It's like he has no place other than what we give him that place. You know what I'm saying? If you've ever been agitated or angry or mad at your husband or something, you know, or mad at a loved one or, you know, somebody disappointed you, you know, it's like you give yourself over to that spirit of anger. And then you've just given that spirit that place in your life. And then you feel guilty about it. Then you feel bad about it. Or maybe you corrected your child out of anger. But, you know, being the role model, just like Christ, you go back. I mean, you really seek that humility and teaching them, listen, you know, Mama really corrected you out of anger. And I'm really sorry about that, honey. You know, I shouldn't have been that harsh with you. But what I was looking for was this from you. Because we're trying to teach them as little children obedience. And, you know, that sign of maturity is our ability to be corrected, an ability to be taught, an ability to be trained. I can't tell you how many people would get offended over being corrected here in the house. And you're like, whoa, you know, they just waltz on out the door. And it's like, oh, they're going to take that offense with them. And that inability to be corrected. And the training ground is with us parentally, you know, with our own children, but also so much more with our Father when he's looking to teach us. But when we're in denial or when we don't receive that teaching, I mean, he chastens and corrects those that he loves, you know, and it's never too late. You know, it's never too late for us to say, Lord, teach me your ways. Your ways are so much higher. You know, sometimes we pattern our own parents and the way that we're trying to, you know, teach our own children, but we're breaking that off. I was ministering to a woman, and she was like, wow, you know, you're further along with where you are with parenting your child. But I'm like, oh, but I want to, you know, I need to so pattern more the Lord. And, you know, because I still get into my humanity and still get into the flesh. But it's each generation that we are bringing forth, you know, there's more understanding, more revelation. You think about what you knew in the Word of God. If you were saved more than 10 years ago or 20 years ago, even the progression of Sozo and the deliverance ministry, you know, we were like yelling and screaming. And now it's like, you know, getting to the legal right and getting, I mean, there's just a greater understanding of the way that God does things. We want to do it his way because we don't want to do it our way. So it says, Psalm 27:3, though an army may encamp against me. Think about that. I mean, there are armies in the realm of the spirit. They are unseen. Many people see them as they do also the angels. But the army comes around us and you can feel it. Sometimes you see it. You can hear it. You're like, whoa, where'd that come from? And why? And you know exactly why. You know, he's trying to crush your spirit and break you down. But he says, my heart shall not fear. My heart. You know, we're speaking to ourselves through this word. The Lord is speaking to us through his word. He says, my heart shall not fear. Everybody say that. My heart shall not fear. Again, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. And I'm going to pray this over you. I'm just going to speak it and decree it and you be in agreement with me. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. That means even as you're moving, you have the temple. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. As you're moving, that I will dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life to behold the beauty, the splendor, the grace of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. To inquire in his temple, that means to go inside. That means to go into the realm of where he's placed his kingdom. And that is within, to meet with the King of glory. He's bid us come every day. He says, bid you to walk with me. And he wants us to see in the realm of the spirit that he's holding our hand. He's wanting us to come into a place of mature love. It's like, oh, I love Kathy, but oh, I don't know about Sharon. Because the other day she didn't call me back, and I was like really getting upset, you know, I got agitated, so I really need to talk to her, and I need to talk to her right then and right there, you know. But so I don't like you right now. I'm a little upset with you. I'm not going to talk to you for a while. I'm going to punish you. I'm going to put my back on you for a little bit. You know, I mean, it's like sometimes that's our humanity. That's just our human nature. You know, I know y'all don't ever do that. And of course, I love Sharon. Sharon's always available to me. She's always encouraging me. But see, you know, it's just that pursuit, that one thing, because our ultimate pursuit is to be like Christ. To sound like him. To love like him. In spite of ourselves. In spite of our ability to be critical. Anybody ever been judgmental in their life? Anybody ever get upset because somebody didn't something that you wanted it right then and right there? You know? I mean, we just kind of throw a fit. Anybody have children that throw a fit because they didn't get their way and cry and, you know, wail and, you know? I mean, that doesn't move God. You know, faith is the currency of heaven. That faith is what pleases the Father. It's what we exchange things with in the realm of the Spirit. It's through prayer. It's through our worship. You know, that's what changes our hearts. And when he does allow us, it's not, you can never always self-examine. Hello. You don't ever want to always look on yourself, but there will be those times and those seasons when he's beginning to say, look at those things that I long for you to surrender to me. You know, sometimes we hold on to those things, and you all probably heard about the story with the little girl with the fake, you know, dollar pearls, and she's like holding on to it and her, you know, putting it on her baby doll, and, you know, her daddy says, you know, give those to me. She goes, oh no, daddy, these are my pearls. You know, I saved up for them, and I think they cost maybe $3. And she's like, no, these are my pearls, daddy. You know, these are my pearls. And he's like, honey, give them to me. And this just kind of went back and forth and back and forth. And eventually, with tears in her eyes, she walked to him and she gave it to her daddy. And her daddy, in exchange, brought out a beautiful box that was open up, and they were the pure, real, genuine pearls that he was holding for her and saving for her to give up that one thing. So what is even that one thing? Even as I'm speaking, I'm just going to ask Holy Spirit to be speaking to your heart. If there is that one thing, you know, whether you bring it out here or even in your quiet time, to say, Lord, here's that one thing, you know, I've struggled with for years, or, you know, here's that one thing that's just gnawing on the inside of me that I know that you want. And it's also individual, you know. It's between you and the Lord. And I'll tell you, the power of confession, it does take away that which is hidden in your heart. And, you know, a lot of times we're too afraid or too embarrassed. I'm so embarrassed to admit that I did that. I'm so embarrassed, you know. But it's like that's exactly the shame that the enemy would want you to stay in, to prevent you from coming into the light. The Lord is my light. The Lord is my salvation. The Lord is my light. The Lord is my salvation. He's the light that gets to shine in you when you allow him to. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me. He shall protect me in his pavilion, in the secret place, in the secret place of his tabernacle. He shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. You know, I mean, there's just such joy, there's such power in the word. He shall set me high upon the rock. We all know the rock is Christ. We all know the rock is Jesus. You know, he sets us up so high. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies. You know, he'll just have you camp out on certain scriptures. You know, Jesus made an open display of the principalities openly. He dismantled them. Jesus is in us. I mean, we may have low-level, you know, powers, but God's expanding that into the third heavens. It's out of that place of the third heavens that we have all authority. And he wants us to get that. You know, he wants us to get it and not tolerate demonic spirits in our life and not tolerate the enemies of our soul, because the enemies are under our feet. But if they're working in us, there's mixture still. And he's saying, burn away. You know, I mean, even the songs that I sing that the Lord has on my heart to share with you, it's like, oh, I can't get enough of that song because it's a song on my heart. Burn away. I want your thoughts. I want your heart to burn within me. I want to be able to love people that are difficult to love. I want to be able to love those that have hurt me. You know, people that I've cared about that are no longer a part of my life. And, you know, God will do and allow and cause that separation because there are higher purposes for that, for your protection. You know, sometimes it's better that you don't know some of the things that some of those people are doing. You know, that whether they're in your family or somebody that really hurt you in the past, it's like, oh, I don't even want to know. You know, it's like he protects us. He keeps us in that pavilion when we go into that place. He protects us. He says, when my father and my mother forsake me, when they fail me, or when they leave me, then the Lord will he will take care of me. Everyone's going to suffer some form of rejection, separation, betrayal, whether with immediate families, husbands, friends. Those disappointments are disappointments. You know, anybody been dissed? I sometimes go down the line, you know, disrespected, dishonored, disillusioned, you know, there's disregarded, disappointed, you know, I mean, it's like, that's that diss, you know, you've been dissed, you know, it's like, why do they say that? Oh, slang words, you know, yeah, you've been dissed, you know, and when I go down that line, I go, yeah, that's what that is, you know, we've all experienced some of that, and sometimes we've dished it out too, but it's like, you know, we can have, even that seared conscience if we don't allow the Lord to address those areas in our hearts. It's like we begin to not feel those things anymore. But he doesn't want us to cut off our feelings. He doesn't want us to control our feelings. You know, he doesn't want us to live out of our feelings. But our feelings are also a gift. You know, we can experience great joy, unspeakable joy, victory, and thrill, just the thrill of knowing God. That keeps us in those heavenly places. And that's where he's looking for us to abide. It's like in him. In the fruit of the Spirit, in the joy of the Lord, in that place of thankfulness. But there's sometimes those little creepers that try to come and gnaw at you and steal from you and eat up your flesh. I was like looking at that. I think when the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, come on. You know, I mean, they're coming to eat up your flesh. My enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Do you know that eat up my flesh? Even with worry and fear, dread, anxiousness. It causes ulcers literally to manifest in people's bodies. You know, there's going to be a manifestation of those things that are unseen. You know, sometimes, you know, your mind can be going and racing so much. You're like, oh, what's wrong with me? You know, it's like you're spinning, you know. Ever been there? You know, that confusion's coming all around you. And you're just like, the only way for me to shut that down or even distractions is worship. Do y'all worship in the car like I do? That's like one of my favorite places. As I'm going, I am worshiping. As I get home, I'm worshiping. You know, it's like you cannot break fellowship when you remain in that place of that perpetual worship of the Lord. And he's just going to keep rising up and keep you saturated so no hardness can come into your heart. That hardness, I mean, it has to be so saturated. You know, Sharon taught a while back just about the rivers of the water. We know through just the evolution of time how boulders, huge boulders through time, just begin to disintegrate through the process of that water. You know, there's an erosion even with that. It's just like breaks those things down. It's that dynamis working power of God. So he says, I would have lost her. He says, do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries. You know, God uses your adversaries. He uses hardship. He uses pain, the pain in your life to drive you into his loving arms. You know, lots of times we go running to one another and we may uncover somebody that hurt us. And when we do that, you know, you can create ungodly alliances. You know, like if you go to your mother-in-law and start talking about their son, you know, they're going to get defensive maybe and talk about him too. Or, you know, I mean, just think about any time that you've taken any of your hurts to somebody rather than to the Lord. You know, you just got to discern. There are times to expose and bring him into the light. Confess those things that you struggle with that keep gnawing at you and working against you. And it's like he wants that one thing, you know, but in the midst of that too, is through that yielded heart, giving him that permission to come in and to root out all of those things. Because again, the hardship and the pain will drive you to the Lord. And that's what he's really training us. It's like, come to me, all those that are weary and heavy, heavy laden. It's like, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. The enemy wants to yoke us, put things on us and make us not dream again and hope again and want to love again and open up our hearts. It's like, oh, you're never going to hurt me again. You know, but he doesn't want us to close off that part of our heart. He wants to fully open it up. And see, the first thing that the Lord says is, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And looking for the five secrets and pursuing God's will, he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God. He says that we're to wait on the Lord, be of good courage, be strong, withstand, urgent. There's an urgency in that confidence and that courage and that boldness that comes from him. And he shall strengthen your heart. Shall, that's a promise. He shall strengthen your heart. Everyone's going to wrestle a little bit from time to time, feel a little bit of weakness from time to time. He calls us to come along and encourage us, encourage one another, build us up in our most holy faith. You know, that's where a body is truly working together and functioning together and really looking to build up one another. And that's what I love so much about all of you. You know, it's just your love for one another, your encouragement for one another. So many of you have been with LaRue and me from the very beginning, and I cannot thank y'all. I mean, I'm sound Texan, y'all. Cannot thank you. I used to say you guys, you know, California. If I were to say it in Icelandic, Yelanga, I say a talk fitted, which means I want to say thank you so much to all of you for all of your love. You honor us. You've stood with us through the deepest and darkest and hardest of times. And again, the Lord uses those painful times to drive us into him. You know, he does, because in our natural man, it's not attractive sometimes, you know. But I mean, he's looking to burn all those things up in all of us, that we have the fire of his love. And when you think about the book of Revelation and the end times, you know, the two churches were the faithful ones. We want to be found faithful in the end. We want to be the church that does not forsake the first love. You know, and when we say these things, when we say it to one another, we help one another, encourage one another, build up one another, because the enemies can't around about us, you know, but there's greater for us than there is against us. And again, he's always going to show us, he's going to cause such a reverence of his word coming alive within us and showing us just how powerful he is on our behalf. So the five secrets, you know, there's the five enemies of God's will for your life. And I mentioned that before, the unbelief, the poison of unbelief. But faith is that currency of heaven. Faith is the key to powerful prayer. Faith is confidence, believing. He says that he has given that to us. But see, the injection of the enemy, he tries to come in and cause you to hear things that are not true. Of course, we're not going to believe them because we know it's accusatory. We know it's from the father of lies. But, you know, the more sensitivity we carry in the things of God, the more quickly we'll recognize it and not camp out there for a few days. You know, whether in anger or resentment or bitterness, you know, because that bitterness springs up and it defiles many. But it's like, no, pluck that out quickly. I'm not going to give you a place. The Lord says, do not let the anger, do not let the sun go down on your anger. And, you know, there is a healthy way to have anger. But he's saying to give it to him, and then he closes us with his love, with his ability to forgive. The five enemies of God's will for our life, because we want his perfect will, not his good will, his acceptable will, but his perfect will. Amen? Amen? So he says, poison of unbelief, cemetery of fear. And these I'm actually quoting out of an awesome book, Live Before You Die. This is a book by Daniel Kalenda. And these things just sprung out at me. I'm like, oh, I want to share this with the ladies. Because when the Lord speaks to me, then I want to share that with you also. Live before you die. It says, wake up to God's will for your life. You know, all the excuses we make, he goes into a little more detail. But it's like, okay, no more. It's like, I put that behind me. I press on to the marks up before me. Cemetery of fear. Courage is not the absence of fear. In fact, there is no courage without fear. Courage is the willingness to face fear. You know, everybody has heard about the fight or flight thing. How many want to run? You know what? I mean, think about the movies that you've seen, like Rocky. You know, it's like he rose up against all the odds. I mean, that power that God put upon him to overcome his adversaries, those would fight against him. There was a movie, and I mentioned this before, it just really spoke to me. It was called Divergent, and I watched it with my daughter. And it was really a movie, just a message about facing your fears. And being dauntless, which means there's such a bravery that comes upon you that people that are dauntless run into the battle. They're not afraid. They're not afraid to, you know, I mean, it's like there's a bravery that it's like God possessing you and you just take it on, you know. And so the synonyms of that: bold, courageous, fearless, lion-hearted. I remember praying so many years ago, and the next one is valiant. Even when I was single and I was praying for my husband, I would just pray, Lord, let him be valiant. Lord, let him have a heart that is following after you more than anything else. I wrote my prayer out, and I would pray that, and I would speak that. It was really the attributes. I had a vision of what LaRue was going to, I mean, what my husband was going to look like. And it looked, I mean, it was LaRue, you know. I mean, there were others that came along, and it's like, no, you're not that one. No, you're not it. Sorry. You know, you kind of maybe hold their hand. It just kind of didn't feel right. You know, but I wanted the best. I wanted God's best for me. And even in our marriage, there's just a, you know, we refine each other. That's what marriages are for. And even your children, you know, we're continuing to help each other learn and grow and to becoming the best that God wants us to be. And I just didn't want to compromise. I wanted his best. And I wanted to be at peace waiting for that, even though I got a little restless sometimes. And Christine remembers those days. We're like, wow, where is he? Oh my God, I had to wait a while. But it was worth the wait. And he's become my greatest cheerleader. But see, sometimes there's an urgency. There's an action that's required. You don't even think about yourself. You just go into the battle. I had a crisis. You know, y'all are ministers. Y'all get calls sometimes. And it's like you lay down what's going on in your life. You set it aside to meet that urgent, you know, need that person has. And it's because of the anointing that God has placed upon you. And it's not for you, it's for others. It's for you. It's like the pipe, you're the pipe. You know, the water flows through you, but you're going to get wet. You're going to get blessed through the process anyway. You know, you get the overflow of that blessing. Even in the area of stewardship of finances, you know, he wants us blessed, but he wants it for his kingdom, sowing into the kingdom, because he cares, you know, he doesn't want our first pursuit to be our careers, our life partners, education, money, where we're going to live, what we're going to eat, you know. But the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. So it's about the kingdom of God when we're looking to pursue his will for our lives. When we pursue his will and you're desiring that spouse, when you're seeking after the Lord, when you're seeking after his kingdom, your spouse will be seeking after the kingdom. The one that you desire is going to be desiring the same things that you're desiring. And when you become like-hearted and like-minded, it's because you're in the Word of God. It's like that's where that power of agreement comes. That surrendered will. So I'm going to go with the five secrets to discovering God's will for your life. One, kingdom comes first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. A surrendered will. Not my will, but your will be done. You know, one of the greatest areas that we fight probably daily, it's self-will versus God's will. You know, do I like my creature comforts? Do I like the pleasure over pain? You know, it's like, you know, what's it going to cost me? But it's like, Lord, whatever it takes, I am your yielded vessel. And he wants us to pray that prayer. You know, Tina the other night, she was sharing, and I just love how Tina ministers, because you walk away and you hear that one thing that the Lord spoke into the prophet's mouth. I remember capacity to do what God's calling you to do. It's an ability that is ordained by God. It's that capacity. He's enlarging our capacity. The other night, fully persuaded. I walk away, I go, yes, I am fully persuaded. You all are fully persuaded. You've come and locked arms with LaRue and me and Pastor Chuck, and we are fully persuaded, and we will not relent. We will not stop. We see it, that power that comes over us from Almighty God, and we're stepping into a whole new place. But, you know, there are those things that we're going to have to offer up to him, giving up those sacrifices. That rebellion is that witchcraft, it's stubbornness of self. And when we relinquish that, we become that yielded vessel, surrendered will, hearing God's voice. And I kind of exhorted about that already. If you really want to hear the voice of God speaking, you must make time every day to meditate upon the scriptures. It's not read it, you know, read the scriptures. It's to study the scriptures. Read it. It speaks. You know, people are like, oh, how do I hear from God? You're looking out here, you know. It's like, here, speak to me. But it's like he wants to speak to you and hear and teach you how to hear that voice. And no other voice shall you follow. Learning to hear his voice. Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. John 6:63. Through being in that word, it creates that supernatural awareness and sensitivity that seems to move to a heightened state in our lives when we simply spend time reading, studying, and meditating upon the word of God. And even greater than that is when you take that time to listen. Even when we're here in that place of hush, that holy hush that came over us, being still, it can be a little awkward, a little uncomfortable. You know, it's like, oh, these 2 minutes seem like eternity, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 minutes. You know, it can seem like a long time, but he's saying, you know, quiet your heart. You know, when one possesses great wisdom, you know, when you're learning from another, you're going to be quiet. You're going to shut your mouth. You're going to listen. You know, it's foolishness to start speaking when somebody of greatness, you know, comes walking in the room. Somebody with decades of walking with God, or somebody that's skilled in the marketplace, you know, go, oh, excuse me. Can you tell me this about that? You know, like you're being trained in a conference, you know. It's like you don't interrupt. You don't start speaking your own personal opinions and thoughts and questions before wisdom has spoken. You honor that wisdom and the price that they've paid with becoming seasoned and mature in that understanding and knowledge that they possess. So learning to listen, being still, being quiet, and just say, you know, there's that song, Word of God Speak. Word of God Speak. Speak to me through the scriptures. And he will speak to you. He'll give you that prophetic word, but it's going to confirm what he's already spoken to you in your heart. He's going to just bring that affirmation of what you know already in your heart of what you're to do. Take that time to listen. Romans 8:14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And see, the thing is, we are the sons of God, the sons and daughters of God. That sonship, that Father, he's our Father. And that's just such a beautiful thing to say, Father, Daddy, God. You can meditate on that for the whole day. You know, sit on that. Just bless who he is. The way up is down. God's will for your life will always lead you on a path of humility. Always. And the greatest example of this principle is Jesus Christ himself. When we were coming over here, driving in the car, I was talking to Christine because, you know, when he washed the feet of the disciples, he was washing away the betrayal he knew that was coming on him. And to take on that lowly servant role was unspeakable. Peter was like, oh, don't do that. Oh, wash me all over. And then if you're going to wash me, I mean, he was like shocked that Jesus, who had revealed himself to Peter and James and John and the transfiguration. But I mean, that was like the lowest role of the servant in the house when people would come walking through all the dust of the land. You know, they would be greeted and they would wash their feet. But Jesus took on that role. I mean, the lowest of the servants, he took on that role. And you you have so many other images in your heart, I know, where you see by example what he did. The other one that was kind of like, still kind of bothers me, you know, but you got to get to that place where you get slapped, give him the other cheek. You're like, ah, you know, you just take it in the natural reaction. I got to slap you back. You know, I mean, it's like, I mean, our flesh wants to rise up. You get smacked around, you know, whether it's face to face or in the realm of the spirit, you know, sometimes you feel those assault of those words and the gossip and the slander and persecution. It's like, you know, bless those, bless your enemies, bless them, love your enemies, pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you and come against you. And how many people have had family members that have risen up against you, loved ones? Because, you know, a stranger's not going to hurt you. I mean, it's like, you know, they might get mess you up a little bit, but, you know, you're like, their face kind of comes and goes, but it's the ones that you've brought in close to your life that can hurt you. But he says, love your enemies. You know, they'll eat up your flesh if you don't love them. If you don't choose to love them, choose to forgive them with everything that is within you. You know, he's like, we have to love them. We have to choose to love them. And then taking action, being mobilized, getting just moving. God cannot bless our good intentions, not only what we do. This is number five for the will of God in your life. I said this the other night. If you won't, someone else will. And I mean, that is like, whoo, you know, that reverential fear. It's like, I don't want to miss God, what he has for me. You know, I mean, he will get his grand purpose and plan accomplished in the earth, but he's looking for us to co-labor with him. It's a labor of love, you know, and it's not going to always be easy. It may cost you something. It may cost you a lot in seeking after his kingdom. But when we give him that place and taking that role of Christ, releasing Christ, and then we see, you know, that taking action. I love Kathy, you know, stepping up and saying, oh, we got to go out. We got to go win souls. You know, we got to go out and do it because it burns within her. And there's certain things that are going to burn within you that are the passion of your heart. I went to see Joyce Meyer last night, and we had a girls' night out. Me and Christine went. And I remember years ago, I mean, man, I think everybody's cut their teeth on her. Amen. Or been blessed in some special way from Joyce Meyer. God bless her ministry. You know, 39 years she's been ministering. And that's amazing. This woman is 75 years old, and she's just powerful and anointed and full of the wisdom. And the thing I admire so much about her, probably like all of you, is her transparency, her willingness to be so open and honest, you know, put out her sexual abuse. It opened up that door of that shame for so many decades ago because she was willing to step out and put her life out there. And one of the things that I remember so many years ago she taught on was this very Psalm 27:4. One thing I have desired, and that will I seek after. And here I'm speaking this and teaching on this today, and we go to see Joyce Meyer, and I'm just like reminded of that because I remember that one thing that she spoke. I don't remember everything else that she said around that, but it's like, one thing will I desire, that will I seek after, that one thing. You know, it's like you hear those, it's like you walk away with what you need to hear that's going to inspire you and cause life transforming power in your heart through the seeds of life and truth that are placed in you. And I believe that's what's happening with every moment of every day when we're listening by the Spirit and responding and opening up our hearts to hearing from the Lord. And he's teaching us and training us. And so, you know, with going and hearing her, I remember some of the things that she said when she first started. I mean, when she began, she was like in her mid-20s, yeah. And she would smoke a cigarette. You know, that's why she kind of had a little of that raspy voice. And you think about your humble beginnings. He just says, just start, step out, you know, do something kind for another person. You know, that's what's going to cause you to experience happiness and joy is when you do something for another person. You know, sometimes we wallow in self-pity. Sometimes, woe is me. Sometimes we're in depression. The antidote in that is taking action and going out and doing something for somebody else. I remember her saying that it's like, oh, you know, like a new believer, I'm going to go serve in the nursery. And she did that. She goes, not for me. You know, I mean, you really got to have an anointing to be able to have that love and the patience for the babies. And, you know, I've made many appeals. It's like anybody in the children, oh, no hands would go up. I'm like, okay, you know, but the Lord will provide, and he does. Sometimes we're too afraid to help because what it's going to cost me, I'm going to miss out on something or, you know, but it's like he's looking for us to be willing and being faithful with the little, that we would be faithful with much. What I was mentioning a minute ago when the Lord was inspiring about Kathy, even going out You know, some people say, oh, I'm called to the nations, I'm called to millions. Well, have you led anybody to the Lord this week? You know, I mean, we have this grandiose, oh, God's calling me, I'm going to the nations. Millions are going to come when I step up. But he's saying, you know, go door to door. Knock on those doors. Tell them about Jesus. Go in the marketplace and tell them about Jesus. It's like when we're trying to find God's will, he's going to align it with what your personal passion is. You know, I mean, Joyce was sharing how even back then she would go out door to door. And it's like, oh, yeah, I didn't want to be there, you know. But her gifting was in teaching. And it's like all of a sudden a grace came upon her. And, you know, she used to have those cut-off shorts and, like I said, smoking cigarettes, you know. I mean, some of y'all are, it's just so comical and so endearing when you have that level of humility and transparency. And it's attractive. It just absolutely has it's the opposite of what we would think. You know, it's like, you know, you open yourself up like that. But by virtue of doing that, she's helped millions. And so we want to help others and encourage others and be that role model and be that encouragement to each other as well. And when you're faithful with the little, he does cause you to be faithful with much. He gives you a grace to do that which you cannot do on your own. He's calling us to do the impossible. Isn't that like crazy? He's calling us to do the impossible, to truly believe him for the things that we're believing him here in this house. You know, I know y'all know the vision. I know you know the Constitution. If you don't get a hold of those constitutions and pour into them, I'm like, wow, God, we're asking for such greatness. You know, and it's the greatness of his power in us. But no one person can do it. Everybody's called to that. It's like, you know, here I am, Lord, send me. It's like that willingness without being double-minded and talking yourself out of it before you step out. You know, he's just saying, step out, take that first step. And then he'll anoint you. When I, again, do the sozos, I have no preconceived agendas. It's like, Lord, have your way. Whatever you want to do. And each one's so unique and so precious and so beautiful in the eyes of God. And I fast and I pray for them. I go, Lord, give me your love. Give me your heart. But then also, again, as I said, Lord, grant me the grace to do this corporately. I want to have the anointing to cause people to not be afraid, to be ashamed or be embarrassed. But even if they need to whisper it to one person, you know, not your husband because you're one with them. But if it's that one thing that the Lord is going after that's preventing the fullness of God in your life, or where there's been complacency or compromise or an unwillingness to step out, procrastination, you know, he's saying, step out, give that thing to me. And then he's going to set you on fire. He's going to cause you to be that love explosion everywhere you go, the power of God. And it's going to be him. Amen. Yeah, let's just give the Lord a praise offering. Because of what he's doing in us, you know, it's just a powerful thing, taking action. So what are those things that is preventing you from receiving all that God has, planning and preparing and equipping you for to walk in his glorious power and authority? You know, what is that one thing? You know, I just want everybody to close their eyes for just a moment. Even right where you are, Lord, we know your voice. Is there anything in our heart, anything that's seeking to devour? Maybe not even this moment, but it's trying to prepare us to fall. It's causing that hindrance. Holy Spirit, rest upon everyone this very moment, right here, right now. Speak to our hearts, Lord. And if there is that one thing, I want you to take action. I just want you to... As he's bringing that up to you, I want you to just begin surrendering that to him. I'm just going to take a moment and let the Lord speak to you. Ephesians 3:14 says, "For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." The whole family in heaven and earth is named. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell You are his habitation. You are his dwelling place. You are his secret place. The place where you can go to. He is your secret place, but you are abiding in him and he's abiding in you. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That you being rooted and grounded in love. And I just want to have you think about that love. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. He gave us the human spirit, which at salvation joined us with the Spirit of God. And the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, but he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Even right where you are, that message last night was facing the truth. And there are ways that we often defend ourselves. There can be a denial of reality, whether conscious or unconscious. You're not being willing to face the truth. Emotional insulation, withdrawing from people or keeping people at a distance to avoid rejection. Regression, reverting back to less threatening times and ways of living life. Displaced anger, taking out frustrations on innocent people. Projection, attributing to another what you find unacceptable in yourself. And excuses, making excuses, rationalizing for not stepping into that will of the Father. Father, I thank you for your presence here that you're drawing from the deep wells, drawing out anything and everything that you desire this day. What I'm going to ask you to do, even whether today or in the days to come, as the Lord's been speaking to you about what that one thing is that he wants from you, that you're still holding on to, and he's revealed it to you, I'm going to ask my ministers just to stand up for just a moment. Kathy, Sharon, Vi, I want you to come on up here. V. Marie, if he's showing you something, I'm going to open up these altars and just be led of the Lord to surrender that one thing. I'm just going to have you dim those lights for a moment. If there is that one thing that you've been holding on to and the Lord's putting it on your heart, I'm just going to invite you to come forward. I want to burn away. And if you want to come to the altar, you can do that as an act of fully surrendering yourself to him. You can make this song a prayer in your heart. Even right where you are, whatever the Lord is leading you to do, it's a part of the yielding and leading. If you need personal ministry, the altars are open. If you need prayer about anything, we invite you to come forward.